This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Heather Fargo was elected to the Sacramento City Council in 1989, and about 7 years later, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She kept it a secret, though, and kept going with her career. She ran for mayor and was elected in November of 2000, and then served two very big, very important terms in the city, and she still kept going, although by 2007, she announced publicly that she had had this ongoing health battle with MS. Heather Fargo is active now with Women Democrats of Sacramento, and she leads the Capital Women's Campaign. She's joining us by phone, and I'm always going to call you Mayor Fargo, so welcome to Insight.
Well, thank you, Beth. It's great to be back.
I noted your health because so much of what we're talking about now is health.
Right.
And honestly, when I bring up your name, people say, how is she? So I'm going to put that question right to you to answer yourself.
Well, I think I'm doing great. Yes, I have MS. It's one of those underlying conditions, and it certainly affects my ability to walk. But, you know, there are tools. I have walkers, wheelchairs, scooters, and I get out and about on a daily basis. So I'm working part-time for the Sacramento Tree Foundation, organizing tree plantings, but spending most of my time with the Capital Women's Campaign as their chair to try to raise money and elect women.
So let's go right to last night, which was a big night for Joe Biden. He won 4 of the 6 primaries. Looks like Bernie Sanders took North Dakota and is leading in Washington. What do you think of the direction of the presidential race right now?
Well, obviously, I'm disappointed that we don't have any women left at that top tier. But I'm hoping that we get a woman on as a vice presidential candidate. One of the interesting things I heard on your radio program, I don't know if it was 3 a.m. when I woke up or if it was this morning after I got up, but about the fact that in some of the states, the reason that Bernie Sanders did not do as well is because he wasn't running against a woman. And that's very disappointing. I just think the world would be a better place, certainly this country would be a better place, if we had more women in positions of power making decisions that affect us all.
The conversation about sexism in the presidential race is not going away, and in politics in general. What's your gauge of that level? What do you see around you locally and regionally compared to the national scene?
Well, obviously, I'm much more engaged locally than I am at the national scene, so I know more about that and focus more on it because I still believe that local politics and what happens in our cities and counties has a lot to do with affecting people. Although I don't think any of us ever understood how much a president could impact our daily lives on a negative basis, as the current administration does. But locally, we are very excited that Kate Valenzuela has been elected to the Sacramento City Council. That doubles the number of women we have on the Sacramento City Council from 1 to 2. And there is one woman left in the race in District 8 City Council, and that is Mai Vang, and we'll be working hard to get her elected, hopefully, which would then triple the number of women on the City Council. And I think it really matters who is in those positions, and I think if we had 3 women, North, Central, and South, on the City Council, it would make a huge difference in the priorities of the city and the direction that we can take, and I think that's very important to focus on. Unfortunately, we are going to be down to only one woman on the Sacramento County Board of Supervisors. We've had 2 for quite a long time, and now we'll be down to 1, and that'll probably be a pretty lonely person sitting up there some days. So locally, then also we still have a woman running in for the assembly against Jim Cooper, Tracy Stafford, may or may not be in the runoff. We don't know yet. So that might bring back a woman to representing one of the assembly slash Senate seats in the state. So there's a lot of activity going on, and we just want women to join organizations, to donate their money, to volunteer their time, to vote. We're trying to engage them and empower them and educate them. And we even have a training program coming up on March 21st. We're hoping it's not canceled due to the virus. But on March 21st at Sierra 2, we are doing a campaign leadership training where we are hoping to encourage women to go into the campaign business to become fundraisers and to become field directors and campaign managers. And it's a one-day course. It's $25, which includes lunch and breakfast and a reception afterwards with elected women from the region. And it's also free to students. So it should be a pretty exciting day, and we have some pretty dynamic speakers lined up to make the presentation.
I'll review those details in a moment, but what tends to be unique or different about women, let's say specifically running campaigns or being involved in campaigns?
I think that women in general are more socially adept, just generally. We tend to, you know, I mean, we're the moms of the world, and we are both caretakers, but we also have a lot of insight and experience in how government affects women and girls. And I think that isn't always as common. I mean, certainly not uncommon, but it's certainly not as common or as direct when we have only men represented. For example, if we had more women in elected office, we probably would have passed the ERA in this country. We probably would agree that gender equity and pay equity and equal access to sporting venues, all of those things would be different for girls and for women, in addition to the health issues that women deal with, which are different than what men deal with. So in terms of their ability to connect, how they communicate with women, their understanding of issues that affect women and girls, it's a different perspective. And having served on a city council when we had 5 women versus a city council that we have now that only has 1 woman, there's a difference in what's discussed. There's a difference in what's funded in the budget. And women need to be involved in this country, in this city, in this world.
I've heard some conversation about the fact that when you decide to run for office, first of all, you've made a personal commitment to yourself that you're you're ready to step out in this bold way and have your voice be heard and take people with you. But then the next step is, well, how do I do this? And sometimes it's an apprentice business, right? Apprenticeships help.
Yes, that's very valid. And I think one of the things, getting back to that last question as well as this one, is that women are always the predominant gender in campaigns. The problem is, or the problem that has been, is and to be the volunteers. They're not necessarily the staff. And so they're not paid to do what they do. Women tend to be a larger portion of volunteers in the world. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that women understand that they can make these decisions, they can be in these positions, they can make money, and the same amount of money as men for doing that job. So we take on a lot of women, you know, collectively as interns and as apprentices, as you say. It is something that I think women often haven't seen themselves in those roles just because of the history of this country.
I used to say that in working in sports, Mayor Fargo, that women were really the workhorses of the broadcast teams, and that to speak to what you just said, it would take a mindset shift sometimes to think you don't have to be, you know, the assistant producer or the assistant anything, that you can actually be that lead person. And I think that movement in envisioning yourself being there, confidence, using your voice, all those things are arenas that we're getting much better at discussing. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah, I think so. And, we're always hopeful that the next generation is going to, you know, step up and take the reins. And in a lot of cases, they are. You know, we've seen a lot of shifts. And, of course, this year is particularly important because of the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. And so we're, part of what we're doing with our women's campaign is to remind women that not only does their vote count, but their money and their, time counts. And all of those things are valuable. And we want to make sure that women are as engaged as possible to do what we can do to improve the world, basically.
So,
not only our own communities, but the entire world. Climate change is a big issue, and we need to be focused on it.
That anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment is August 18th, but
correct.
Say specifically what the Women's Capital Campaign is fundraising for.
The Women's Capital campaign is fundraising to elect women. Our mission basically is we are the Capital Women's Campaign is an alliance of women from the greater Sacramento region determined to flex our political and financial power. And our goal this year is to raise $100,000 to elect women, to put women in office. And we're doing that through fundraising and through calls to action to our membership to, you know, encourage them to be involved in campaigns. We do fundraising, and our next fundraising event is going to be in June, and that's going to be a musical concert down in Oak Park, which is going to be wonderful, focused, of course, on women artists.
All right. So this Saturday is the Sierra 2 event. This is campaign leadership training, open to all women interested in working on campaigns, exploring office, 8:30.
Well, we're not excluding men. If there's a man that wants to come, he's welcome. But,
okay.
He doesn't get a discount.
All right. It's 8:30 to 5 o'clock. We'll post a link with more information. And you and I have wanted to have this conversation for a long time. So I so appreciate that we've been able to do it now. And at a time when looking to the presidential race, we have these first name basis people to talk about. Elizabeth, Amy, Tulsi, Kamala, Kirsten, and Marianne, who were all there this year. Yeah.
Yes. It's been a big year for women, and I hope that the women in Sacramento in particular will join our effort. I assume you're going to put our information up there on your website so they can get to us at Capital Women's Campaign. And that's Capital with an A, because we're focused on money, not on the state capital.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mayor Fargo. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Beth.
That's former Sacramento Mayor Heather Fargo. That information will be at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Thanks for joining us.